Hi there, listeners. Just wanted to let you know again that I'm very much interested in your comments and feedback since the show is so young. I got a few emails this week, one listener asking about this cryptic addendum to the title of Contrapunctus 9 from last episode, which says double counterpoint at the 12th, and I'll put up a post on the podcast website in the next couple of days for anyone who's interested in that. Another listener wrote trying to help me improve some basic audio volume issues. Not sure if that worked out perfectly this episode, but I think we're getting there. And I got a very interesting question about my partial theory last episode for why box music is so great, and I'm going to save answering that one for another episode. Also, the show you're about to hear is the first one in which I'm not actually playing the full piece that you're going to hear at the beginning and the end because it's not piano music this time. So I put up links to full performances on the podcast website along with, as usual, other relevant stuff. Once again, that website is www.samueljpost.com/podcast. And you can reach me at samueljpost@gmail.com or at the new email address for the show, themusicpostpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone who wrote to me. Thanks to those who rated the show. And a special thanks to those who wrote a review of the show in the iTunes store. Okay, here's today's episode. Hi, I'm Sam Post, and welcome to The Music Post. Each week, of course, we get to know some new music and dig into it, learn what makes it great, unravel its mysteries, if you will. Today we're taking a break from The Art of Fugue to listen to something quite different, a short, exquisitely beautiful number from a Mozart opera, and as usual, we'll hear it twice, learn about it in between, and I'll save the very best recording for last. The whole idea behind The Music Post is to get you, the listener, to really love and adore great music, and seek it out again and again, and ideally this would mean bringing you music you don't know each week, giving you something new. But of course for those who don't know that much great music, or what I think is great music at least, there are some things that I really can't let you miss out on. So clearly there's this balance in choosing what to play for you each episode, and over time, as I get to know who's listening a little bit better, I hope to strike the right one, but in the meantime, I thought after a few episodes of The Art of Fugue, which you're not likely to hear that often, I would pick something not more famous necessarily, but something you do hear perhaps more often, something that's likely to come up a little bit sooner in your listening. And as always, for those who do know the music that we're listening to today, I hope by the end of the episode, you appreciate it even more fully than you did when you started. And I always welcome your comments and suggestions about what music you'd like to hear on The Music Post. So with that said, I do find that there are a fair number of people who listen to instrumental music, but who shy away from opera, which I think may have to do with singing like this. Ugh. Call me crazy, but I do not like this singing. This excessive vibrato really rubs me the wrong way. And this isn't some random singer I found just to make this point. I heard this soprano earlier today on a radio broadcast from the Metropolitan Opera of New York, the pinnacle of opera, supposedly. And I was thinking, you know, this just is not good. So I looked her up afterward. Her name is Angela Mead. And clearly, this singer has a much more established performing career than I do, and of course, I did choose this particular excerpt to prove my point, but on the other hand, it is her top YouTube hit, so people out there must like this kind of thing. I just don't get it, though. If you're with me on that, I hope you'll realize that there is much better singing out there than this. Just listen to this for contrast. That's how it's done. Much better. and we'll be hearing that singer again in just a moment, so I won't reveal her name just yet. I will tell you those two contrasting excerpts were from Verdi's I Due Foscari. The point is, there's great opera, there's bad opera, there's great opera singing, and there is not so great opera singing, and everything in between. And I hope if you're one of these people who has shied away from opera in the past, that you'll begin to appreciate this distinction so that you can gravitate towards the good stuff. And speaking of the good stuff, there is perhaps none better than Mozart. People say for Mozart, to fully appreciate him, you have to listen to the piano concertos and the operas. And take it from a pianist, the operas really come out on top. So enough talk, here is our number for today from Mozart's Così fan tutte. We'll listen to it and then debrief after. Just beautiful. I was listening along and thinking, gosh, you know, maybe I should put that one at the end. That's just beautiful singing. But then I went and listened to the one that I am planning on putting at the end, and I do think it's better. So, got that to look forward to. Some very brief background on this opera. It's extremely silly, farcical. There's very little serious stuff happening. And yet, in the midst of it, we have this really profound trio that we just heard, Terzetto, which is just like Mozart. You know, I think some of the other composers writing Italian opera around this same time, Donizetti, Bellini, Rossini, they could write some good music, but nothing like this. In their operas, too often I find it's the opposite. We have a very serious opera, and it's filled with this music that just doesn't quite have the gravity that's necessary for the moment. In this scene, the two women characters, Fiordiligi, the first soprano, sung by Montserrat Caballé, who you heard earlier in the Verdi, and Dorabella, the other character, the second soprano, sung by Janet Baker. They're bidding farewell to their lovers, who they believe are getting on a boat to go off and join the army. We, on the other hand, know that it's all a big joke, and the baritone, Don Alfonso, sung by Richard von Allen, is in on this joke. He's just playing along. And by the way, the conductor was Sir Colin Davis. They're saying, "May the wind be gentle, the waves be calm, and every element respond to our desire," wishing them a safe journey. So you can hear these gentle wind, calm waves at the beginning in this flowing melody in the violins. Combined with that, we have long sustained note in the violas, which is easy to miss, comes back later on, perhaps more importantly, along with these short pizzicatos in the cello and bass. And the three elements combine to give this really beautiful texture. You can see how this music is much different from the Art of Fugue. From the beginning, it's all about creating this sound world, you might call it, that sets up this atmosphere, takes us to a different place right away. Another thing to mention about the beginning, Mozart actually writes this number in 2 beats per measure, where you probably heard it in 4. The most obvious way to hear the meter is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. But it's actually written like 1, 2, 1, 2. And some people take this to mean that this music is meant to move along a little bit faster so that we really feel these 2 beats without feeling the other ones. And I think maybe that's true, maybe they did play it faster back in Mozart's day, but I think really the point is that it has to have this sense of stretching out time, of soaring or floating over the water, that I think we heard in this recording, and that we'll hear again later on in the recording at the end, which is even a little bit slower than this one. Most important maybe is that these 2 beats have a different feeling, this down, up, down, up. Well, I can't play it that well, and to play it in a slow tempo and have that feeling is very difficult, but the best conductors, I think, can still achieve that. It's also important in your listening, I think, to feel this stretching of time in such a way that you can fit these very long phrases of music into your mental picture of this piece. To give you some idea, I'll play a reduction of the first vocal phrase much quicker than you just heard it sung. And you'll see how long these phrases are that really need to feel like one little stretch of music. That really goes together, even though in the recording it takes about 40 seconds or so. And notice also that there's nothing complicated here going on harmonically. It's very simple, just tonic, dominant, dominant, tonic, subdominant, dominant, tonic, subdominant. And if you don't know what those terms are, it's not important. They're the 3 basic building blocks of all of Western music. And people like to make fun of pop music a lot and say it repeats the same chords over and over. There's nothing really you can do with that. And to a certain extent, I think this music by Mozart shows that that argument isn't the best, because it can be transcendent even using these very simple chords. Although we'll see later on, Mozart does spice things up a little bit. In terms of this melody, it's a little bit difficult to explain, well, to figure out, first of all, what makes it so powerful. But there are definitely some characteristic elements that occur throughout this piece, and more generally of Mozart, that we can point out. Some of those are the way these mini phrases end with these little sighing gestures. Here. And then. Usually going down and with a little bit quicker notes to end the phrase. Those first two little phraselets, soave sia il vento, tranquilla sia l'onda, may the wind be gentle and the waves be calm. And then in the next phrase, when you listen again, notice the woodwinds coming in for the first time, the clarinets and the bassoons to add color. Again with the sigh, and then for the first time, a little bit of a more painful coloration to the harmony. Augmented chord. You could call that the end of the first phrase, but, well, it's not that important. We keep going. That's definitely the end of the first real section of this piece. At this point, the texture changes, the strings drop out, and the singers now are accompanied, well, doubled really, just by the woodwinds. Again, the clarinets and bassoons. And notice also here, the second soprano rises above the first soprano for a little phrase, and then they switch places. Now they switch back. Now here, what we might be expecting is to maybe close out this section, start a new one, or even perhaps bring this short number to a close. Instead, what we get is something that extends the music even more. Very dark and foreboding. At the same time, the strings come back in with their flowing melody again, only a very different character, and we hear the flutes for the first time too. Here's what we get instead. So painful. And it keeps going. More. And here the two sopranos hold this very long note along with the clarinets, which of course I can't do on the piano. And it's like the music is frozen in time, extended, not coming to rest quite yet, and the baritone takes over the movement along, doubled with the bassoon. And notice the inflections of this baritone melody, how it skips around, these chromatic notes. Very beautiful. A little chromatic in the sopranos as well. Rest. But of course, we're not completely done yet. We get a beautiful coda where we've been waiting this whole number for this cadence where the music finally resolves. And now we're going to repeat it three times in a row, twice very softly, and then finally it's like everything bursts forward, all this emotion for the final one. And in this section, you'll hear, if you listen closely, that long-sustained viola line finally come to the fore as this note changes to this one. It's very difficult to play all of this along with the flowing melody in the violin that comes back for the last time. So I'll let you enjoy this moment, not with this clunky piano playing that you've had to put up with here, but with, I think, probably the finest recording of this terzetto ever. And the last thing I'll say about this recording, it's very difficult, of course. When you're an opera singer, you have to project above an orchestra, and that makes it almost impossible in a number like this to get the right character, the right mood, and the right lightness of the voice. And I think the singers in this recording do that exceptionally well, especially the first soprano, who I'll reveal to you after you've listened. Let's enjoy then. Soave sia il vento, from Mozart's Così fan tutte. Truly exquisite music, one of Mozart's finest, but at the same time, really just getting started with that, there's too many to count in that category. And that was finally revealed Elisabeth Schwarzkopf, first soprano singing Fiordaligi, Nan Merriman, second soprano singing Dorabella, and Sesto Bruscantini singing Don Alfonso, with Herbert von Karajan conducting. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. As always, I welcome your thoughts and comments to samueljpost@gmail.com or themusicpostpodcast@gmail.com, especially if you think you know a better recording of this opera number than either that I played for you today. I would be dying to hear it, and I need to know of its existence quite urgently, so let me know if that's the case. Otherwise, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Music Post, and I hope you'll join me next time. Thanks for listening.